You know, for each and every one of us, there are things in life that we have responsibility over, whether it's your job, whether it's your family, wherever it may be. There have been things that have been entrusted to you, not necessarily things that are yours, but they may be somebody else's, and somebody else has you manage or look over these things. Well, when you think about those, you have to ask yourself, are you being a faithful steward? There's that big word. Stewardship means watching over something that belongs to somebody else. So today we're going to continue our look in the parables out of the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and we're going to look at faithful stewardship, a call to responsibility, also called the wise and the foolish servant. So grab your Bible, turn it to Luke 12. We'll see you here in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us as we gather around God's Word today. We're going to look at a couple of different points out of one of the parables as we continue our look at the parables. But I mentioned just a few moments ago, Luke's Gospel chapter 12, that's where we're going to be reading today. And what we want to do is we want to look at some of the finer points of stewardship as well as responsibility. And I trust and pray that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to each and every one of us in our hearts and in our minds, that if we're doing well, we might receive encouragement. If we're not doing so well in these areas, that the Lord and His Holy Spirit would point those things out, that we may have the opportunity to do better in those areas. I'm going to go ahead and take the scripture as a whole, then we're going to come back and we're going to break it down a little bit. So if you would, look with me at Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. We're going to begin reading at verse 42. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning with verse 42. It says, "And the Lord said, who then is this, that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master will find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at that hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're again grateful and thankful that you speak to us through the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that our spiritual journey has a rule book, and it's called your word. So Father, I pray that you will help us to not look at following you as a chore, but rather the joy of having the opportunity to walk in the steps of our Savior, and Lord, to be guided by him along the path that that is mapped out for each and every one of us. Lord, today I pray that we might truly be found to be faithful stewards of what you have so richly blessed us with. And Lord, help us to assume that responsibility of those things that you have put us in charge over. And Lord, may we be considered those that are wise servants of yours. So help us during this time. Lord, bless this, your servant, as I disseminate your word today, and as we gather around it, may you teach us great, great truths today that will last throughout all of our lives. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so when we look at these particular passages, and as we started our Bible study, one of the things that I wanted to do and always like to try to do is define what stewardship really means. And I think the biggest definition of that is being in charge or responsible for something that belongs to somebody else. Often we will use the word management. You know, sometimes, you know, you think about a restaurant. Somebody is a restaurant manager. That doesn't mean they're the owner, but they look after that particular restaurant and they take care of the things that need to be taken care of in the absence of the owner. So for each and every one of us, God has given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. He has put us in places, and he expects us to be wise stewards over those things. So as we looked at this particular passage, we saw an example of wise as well as foolish servants. But there are a couple of points that we want to point out in today's particular scripture passages. And one of those things is the role of the faithful servant. Now, I want to carry you back in our passage to verse 42. So that's Luke 12, verse 42. And it says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give him their portion of food in due season?" You see, this verse introduces the idea of stewardship as well as responsibility. Now, I want to interject something at this particular point, and for a particular reason. One of the particular reasons is simply the fact that oftentimes, you know, we live in a society today that doesn't take responsibility for much of anything. Have you ever noticed it's always somebody else's fault? You know, maybe a supervisor will come to somebody and say, "Well, why didn't this get done?" "Well, it's not my fault, it was his fault." We always want to shift blame around when it comes down to things that maybe we didn't do. Sometimes it was our fault, sometimes it was their fault. But we need to be able to take responsibility for the things that have been entrusted to us. So this verse is introducing the idea of stewardship, there's that management we were talking about, as well as responsibility. You see, the faithful servant is recognized by their wisdom as well as their trustworthiness. And you and I know that we may not have thought about that in a way that if we were writing it down, that's what we would have said. But have you ever noticed that the people who are placed in charge of things, the people who are the managers, the people that are the stewards over things, are the ones that are deemed wise, they're the ones that are deemed trustworthy, they're the ones that are deemed responsible. So when we look at that particular verse, Jesus is likening his followers to managers who have been entrusted with resources as well as duties, okay? The faithful servant is the one who uses these resources wisely and fulfills their responsibilities diligently. Now, did you notice that? I mean, you've noticed it. Probably most of us at some point along our career have worked for a manager that we didn't particularly care for the way that they did things. You know, they were not very responsible. They were not very wise in the decision-making aspects of the job that you were working in. And most of the time, it was somebody who was over you. And you sat back and maybe thought to yourself, "Well, if I was running this show, it would be done in a different way." So one of the things that we need to understand is that when it comes down to the things that God has given us, remember, he's given us gifts, he's given us talents, and he also holds us responsible for those and how we use it. We see that in many of the other parables that we see throughout God's Word, some that we've even talked about, some that we will talk about as we go forward. So as we think about those definitions and as we think about that particular situation of wisdom and responsibility when it comes down to the things that God has entrusted with us and made us a manager or a steward over, how about us examining our own lives, okay? As you think about it, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? In what areas has God entrusted you with responsibilities, okay? Think about those things for a minute. I know that for me, one of the things that he has entrusted me to be responsible for is bringing his word in a church. I am responsible for the discipleship of Central Baptist Church. I am responsible for the preaching at Central Baptist Church. I am responsible for every word that comes out of that pulpit. I am responsible for every word that goes out on the airways as we do these Bible studies and various other things. There are so many things that I am responsible for as God's servant in this particular position. So what are the things that you are responsible for in your life? What are your biblical responsibilities that God has entrusted you with? That's question number one. Question number two is, are you being faithful in managing those things? Are you being faithful in managing your time? So often I'll hear people say, "Well, you know what? I'm just so busy, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do my devotions." Folks, let me tell you something. If you're not spending some time in God's Word, if you're not spending some time in prayer, then you are mismanaging your time. You need to make God a priority in your life. Are you being faithful in your time management? Are you being faithful in the talents and abilities that God has given you? You know what? God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor, but he's given us different talents and abilities. But those talents and abilities are designed to be used for him, to honor his kingdom, to bring people to him, to encourage people along the way in their walk. You know, I've always kind of used the example of the fact that God never really made me to be a musical person. I do not have that particular talent, although I would love to. I am not talented when it comes to the realm of music. But you know what? We have some great musicians in our midst, and particularly in our church, that they bring forth a worship atmosphere that there's no way that I could do. Now, they are responsible for those talents that God has given them. As well, you are too. You know, those things God's given you, are you using them for him? You know, what about your treasures? I always like to use that word. Your finances. What about the things that we always say that we have? You see, that's not really ours. Everything that we have is God's. It belongs to him, and we are managers over that. So as you examine your own life today during our Bible study, and as you listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you, you know, ask yourself, what are the areas that God has given me responsibilities, and am I being faithful to those responsibilities? Am I managing my time, my tithe, my talents, and so many other things in a way that's pleasing to the Father? Now, there's another thing that we see as we look at our scripture, and that is this. There are consequences of unfaithfulness. You know, it's interesting when you look around society today that so many people sit back and just go and do whatever they want to do, and they feel like there are no consequences that are going to come to them for, you know, their misnomers along the way or their mismanagement along the way. Yes, there are consequences. If you are working at a business and you are a manager and you are not fulfilling your responsibilities and you are unfaithful to them, there's a consequence for that. The consequence could be that you lose your job. The consequence is that you may be fired. There may be situations where you get written up. Whatever the case may be, there are consequences for unfaithfulness. Remember those things that I asked you just a moment ago. What has God given you the talents and abilities and responsibilities for the kingdom for? And are you managing them well? If not, there will be some responsibilities for that as well. Now, let me pick it up to drive this point home. And the second main point we're talking about is that there are consequences for our unfaithfulness. And in our passage, our text passage today, Luke 12, 45 and 46 says this. It says, "But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at that hour he will, and at that hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portions with the unbelievers." So what does all that say? What is it that those two verses are saying to us? Well, here's what it's saying, that the unfaithful servants that neglect their duties and abuse their portion, there are going to be some severe consequences for. In this particular case, he's saying what's going to happen is it's going to sneak up on you. If you begin to be unfaithful, all of a sudden, when you're not thinking about it, something's going to happen. The master is going to show up. He is going to be looking, and you won't even know it. It's kind of like that situation when somebody's sleeping on the job, and then all of a sudden the boss walks in, and they snap to, and they become real busy real quick. Well, trust me, God already knows what's taking place. There are severe consequences for such behavior when the master returns unexpectedly. We are to be prepared all the time. You know, so often we get so caught up in the work about world, and we get up with plans and expectations. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but the question is, where is our eternal focus? Did we get up today and say, you know what, this may be the last day or the last moments that we ever have on the face of this planet? The Lord may call us out to be with him. He may call us home through death's door. The rapture may occur, whatever it may be. Are we hedging our bets? Are we working towards all of eternity? Are all of our thoughts and actions and resources placed in the here and now? So there's going to be consequences. You see, this harsh imagery that we're reading about in these in these two verses. And remember, those two verses are verses 45 and 46. When we consider this harsh imagery, it underscores the seriousness of neglecting responsibilities and the eventual accountability that each person faces. You know, God's judgment is real, and it will come without warning. And I can make you a promise. If God has given you the talents and the abilities, He's given everybody something. Nobody can sit back and say, well, there's nothing that I can do. No, no, no. Every one of us have at least something. It might only be one thing, but there is something that God has given us. And in giving us those talents, abilities, He's also given us responsibilities. We are responsible to use them for His kingdom and for His glory, not just for our own self-gain. In fact, that's not why He gave them to us, okay? See, God's judgment is very, very real. Yeah, I've said before, and I've heard testimony before back when I was growing up of a gentleman who God had given the talent and the ability and the voice to be able to sing. And yet by his own testimony, he said, you know, I basically told God, no, I wasn't going to do that. And you know, shortly the Lord got his attention through some health issues to where he wasn't able to sing like he used to be able to sing. But the Lord also got his attention in that moment in time. And this fella, you know, later on began to get back to singing. Now, like I say, his voice wasn't like it was before, but he became faithful to what God had called him to do. Now, the interesting part about that is it wasn't what it was before. The voice wasn't as crisp. It wasn't as solid as it was. But I'll tell you, it came with the testimony, and a testimony where he would say, never neglect God's call in your life. If he's given you the talent, if he's given you the ability, then he has also given you the responsibility to use it. And in doing so, it will come with accountability, because someday you will stand and face God and you will face his judgment, and he will ask you how good of a steward you were with the things that he had entrusted you with. Now, a lot of us may sit back and say, well, okay, well, I'll just tell God I did. No, God already knows. He's not going to just sit there and say, well, tell me how you did. He already knows how you did. He knows how you're doing right now. He knows whether or not you were being a responsible steward, whether you were being wise with the things that he has entrusted you with. Now, like we've said before, we can look at all these scriptures, and it's not just about the head knowledge, but it's also about what does that do to our heart? We need some heart knowledge, okay? So as we think about these things, you know, the Holy Spirit has already placed some things on your mind. You know, it's not about, you know, what Roy is preaching as far as this passage goes. It's about what the Holy Spirit is saying to you personally through His word, through His will, and through His leadership, okay? So think about it for a moment. Reflect on areas where you might be negligent or you might be abusing the resources that God has given you. You know what? If you're doing that, then I really don't need to point that out, simply because the Holy Spirit already has. The Holy Spirit did that even before I asked that question. But think about it for a moment. What are the areas where you personally might be neglecting or abusing the resources that God has given you? Okay, well, if you see those and if you've identified those, then what you need to do is you need to seek some accountability, and you need to realign your actions with what God's expectations are to avoid spiritual complacency. Too often, and I think something that is very pandemic, we'll use that word, or epidemic today, is that we have become spiritually complacent. We have just sat down. We're not what we used to be, and we're not what God wants us to be either. So God does have expectations. If you have identified those, if the Holy Spirit has identified those negligent areas of your life, then get some accountability in there. You know what? We always do better when we know somebody is watching. You got to have somebody that has your best interest at heart. Not just somebody that's going to browbeat you, but somebody who in love is going to hold you accountable to exercising the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you. And you can find those people. They're there. They are in your life. Okay, I want to move on to another point of what we see in our scripture text today. And that is simply this, that we're looking at some accountability as well as knowledge. Now, down there in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48, we read this. And the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. Now, this is a verse that we like to quote in so many different ways. You've probably quoted it. Maybe you didn't know the book, chapter, and verse, but you've heard that situation. To whom much is given, much is required. This is where it comes from. Now, I want you to also notice something else when it comes down to this, and it's why we should be very, very careful. Let me carry you back in those particular verses and point something out. Yet notice when he first starts off in verse 47, he says, and that servant who knew his master's will, one who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, being the master's will, shall be beaten with many stripes. There, remember, we talked about consequences for our inadequacies. There is a consequence. It says, you know, this, and this is a parable. This is something that people could understand. This was like master to servant, servant to master. So if the servant has not been a good management of the master's goods or the master's household, and he comes back and he finds him, as we read, being slothful and lazy and not doing it, says he will be beaten with many stripes. But here's something else I want to point out in those verses. It also says, but he who did not know, think about that. He who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. It didn't say that he was going to escape the stripes. It says there will be fewer stripes. You know why? Because there's an expectation. Yeah, the master has an expectation of his servants in the same manner that God Almighty has expectations of his children. And you and I will answer for how we manage those expectations. That verse, those verses go on to say, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. If God has blessed you with much, and he has given you much in the way of time or talent or resources or whatever it is, then he is requiring much of you. Listen, these are not my words. That is what the Bible says. What does that verse say? For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And then it goes on to say, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask for more. So when we think of these verses, what are our observations? There's a gradient of accountability based on knowledge and resources. Awareness of duty increases our responsibility. The more that you understand your duty, then the more you are held responsible for seeing it through. Now, sometimes people would sit back and say, well, then I guess ignorance is bliss. The Lord's going to make sure you know and understand what those gifts, talents, and abilities are, and he's going to hold you responsible for them, plain and simple. You see, greater understanding or resources come with a great expectation from God. You know, every follower of Christ will be held accountable for what they know and the gifts that they possess. Now, some people get a little bit scared when they hear that. And you know what? Maybe you need to be a little bit scared when you hear that. Because I'm going to say it again. Because too many times we try to play ignorant with God. Now, understand there is a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance means you just don't know. Stupidity means you knew and you just went on your way anyhow. Okay? Let me give you this again. Every follower of Christ, that's probably me and you. Hopefully, I know it's me. I hope it's you as well. Every follower of Christ will be held accountable for what they know and the gifts they possess. Remember, I asked you a little bit earlier in this Bible study, what gifts do you possess? What are the things that God has given you in the way of talents and abilities? And then I ask you if you're using them for his honor and his glory, or are you using them for your own self-gain? Think about that. Too much is given, much will be required. You will stand accountable for those things. Okay, consider your level of knowledge and giftedness. How are you using your understanding and blessing to serve God and to serve other people? You know, I think about that in so many ways. And often what we have is sometimes people say, well, you know what, I'm not a preacher. I can't stand up in front of people. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. You know, I can't work with little kids because they get on my nerves, whatever it may be. But I've seen people rise to the challenge in things like disaster recovery ministries, particularly with all the things for years to come that will take place in Western North Carolina. Even if it's, you know, carrying a 2x4 or if it's going up there to encourage somebody, whatever the case may be, find the thing that man, I always like to say like this, it just trips your trigger, you know, and you just love to do these things. Guarantee you that that's somewhere in the realm of the giftedness that God has given you. And then ask yourself, am I using this for His honor, for His glory? Maybe the Lord has blessed you with wealth. Are you faithful to the tithe? Are you faithful to give to the give those resources, God's resource? Remember, you're managing them. Are you faithful to give when God says, here is where I'm touching your heart, that I want you to utilize my resources? Or are we sitting there being stingy and holding on to them? You know, are we striving to grow in both awareness as well as in our action? So as we think about these things today, there's a couple of things that we understand. Faithful stewardship is a reoccurring theme throughout all of Jesus' teaching. And stewardship, as we know, and we talked about it just a few moments ago, stewardship comes in many shapes, forms, and fashions. It's not always just money. Most of the time when people hear stewardship, they think about money. Well, money is one thing, but it's many, many other things as well. We talked about your talents. We talked about, you know, your time. You know, are you utilizing your time properly for the sake of the kingdom? So faithful stewardship is a reoccurring theme throughout all of Jesus' teaching. And this passage calls for self-reflection on how we manage our God-given responsibilities. They came from Him. It's not just that we're good. God has given us those gifts, and with those gifts come responsibility. You see, we're challenged to be vigilant, you know, to be prepared and to be responsible with the tasks that have been entrusted to us. You know what? That doesn't always mean that the outcome's going to be the way you like it. You know, sometimes people sit back and they say, well, I'm exercising my talents and abilities, and I don't see a whole lot of good things that are going on. Well, the question is, are you being faithful to what God called and entrusted you to do? I often share an illustration with folks of one when I was a little boy that was a Sunday school teacher. And this Sunday school teacher taught, I'm going to call it the old men's class. You could walk in there and that old men's class met in the kitchen of the basement of the church. And you could walk in that kitchen and they met there because that's where the coffee pot was. And you know, I still remember coming home from college one day, and I looked in on the brother, I won't call his name, but he's with the Lord right now, that was teaching that class. And I looked through a little transom window because I wanted to be sure that I said hello to him because I was just there for the weekend. And I looked in there, and I saw the guys in the class, and they were sitting there asleep, you know, and they were spilling coffee on each other and everything else. And he was just teaching his heart out. Man, he was teaching as if he was teaching to 5,000 very attentive listeners. And it kind of broke my heart for him, but you know, I waited around till the class ended. And afterwards, I went in and I called him by name. I gave him a hug and I said, I got a question to ask you. I said, how is it that you can go in there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? And I said, these old guys are in here sleeping. I said, they're spilling coffee on each other and one another in the floor and so many other things. And I said, isn't that a little bit discouraging to you? And I still remember, you know, and this is 40 years later, I still remember the look on his face when he looked at me and he said, no, that doesn't bother me at all. And I said, how do you do it? I said, how is it that in that situation with all that's going on, how is it that you don't get discouraged? And he said, because I always remember, I am not doing what I am doing for them. I don't teach this class for them. I teach this class because God called me to teach this class. And as long as I am faithful to do what God has called me to do, the results are up to Him. That's a good word, isn't it? That's the reason why I've remembered it for over 40 years. Are you being committed and are you being faithful? Are you being a faithful steward to what God has given you? Seek God's wisdom in managing your duties and in managing those resources and remembering that accountability is an integral part of your Christian walk. Each and every one of us need that. You know, Satan tries to pull us aside. And when he does, then we become vulnerable to attack. We need that accountability in our lives. And we need to live each and every day ready for the Master's return, showing responsibility in all of the aspects of life in which God has truly entrusted us. You know, I hope and pray that as we have looked at these words today, that God has spoken to your heart, whether it was a word of encouragement, whether it was a word of chastisement, or whatever it may have been. I pray that today you will take those opportunities and that you will go to him, seek him in prayer, ask him to straighten the crooked paths. If you're not being faithful, today's the day to begin to get on the right path and on the right road. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to seek that accountability. Today is the day to understand that God has been good to you, that God has been good to each and every one of us, and there is an expectation. Are we fulfilling that expectation? In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you and ask God to do some incredible things in your life throughout this week. I want to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be reading this week. I want you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And what's going to happen is next week, we're going to talk about the two sons. This is yet another parable. The two sons from Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. So spend a little bit of extra time as you go through those scriptural passages. And we look forward to seeing you here next week. Let me pray with you before we're dismissed. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful that you have trusted us. Lord, you have given us some great and incredible gifts and talents and abilities, but Lord, you ask us, you call us to manage those things that they might be used for your honor, that they might be used for your glory, that the kingdom may be enhanced because of our faithfulness to be good stewards. Lord, help us to be wise in the decisions that we make. Help us to be wise in utilizing every resource you have given us for your kingdom. Father, for those today that the Holy Spirit has touched their heart, that realize they're not walking in the ways that they should, I pray that you'll give them strength and encouragement. Lord, for those today that have walked faithfully, I pray that you will encourage their heart through your word, through my words, through these messages today. But Lord, most of all, I pray that we would be accountable one to another as we go through this life, accountable for our walk with you. Lord, we always do better when we know somebody else is watching. So Lord, give us a great rest of this week. Help us today to begin to magnify you and to be good stewards of all that you have entrusted us with. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, you have an open invitation. We would love for you to come join us for a Sunday worship service. Our service times are begin at 10:45 in the sanctuary at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you need any information, you can find our website. It's posted through this broadcast. You can Google us. If you Google us, you put Oak Ridge Central Baptist Church, because there's also an Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and they have a pretty big Baptist church there as well. But thank you for joining us. I'd love to meet you as you have an opportunity to come by, shake my hand and say, hey, listen, I heard you online, just wanted to meet you. By the way, we also have some other discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, through small groups. We have children's ministry here through Awana and so many other things for you to be able to participate and grow your faith at Central Baptist Church. God bless you. I hope to see you Sunday.